This is The Vocal Minority.
Hello, everyone. My name is Morgan Freeman. It's my great pleasure to introduce you to the two best guys in the podcast game. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Come on this journey with the boys and make sure to follow, comment, download, and like. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go grab a couple of cold pops and remind Andy Dufresne that the world's best podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, is just about to start. Good day.
The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Yo, starting right now, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, and welcome to the podcast one. Welcome to the podcast all.
Yeah. Hey, we're back. We're not locked in a gulag yet. So find the website, thevocalminority.net, and find the social medias. Oh, the fun going on there. Reddit, TikTok, YouTube, those are the faves. And we're on the other ones technically too.
For some reason, I'm not exactly sure why, but emotions are running high across the nation. And we're still here to welcome you. Guys, gals, my non-binary pals, everyone welcome. Come on in, won't you?
Yes. I took a few days off this week. I didn't watch any TV. Did I miss anything?
No. I did. Well, I shouldn't say that because I did the same thing. I was sticking to comedies like I'm just watching The Office for the 9,000th time. Bringing King of Queens back into my life. So just nonsense comedy, okay?
I always have a to-do list going, and I felt like there was something I forgot to do this week. So I don't know. I felt like there's something 20 million people forgot to do this week.
Yeah, it seems so. Although, I don't know, dude. Here, let's just jump right into it. Welcome to the podcast. Obviously, we're going to go over the feelings of November 5, Doomsday. Is that what we're calling it? Or
I don't know.
Obviously, it's been a tough week for most people. Well, I shouldn't say that. No, about 48% of people it's been a tough week for, right?
Right. I would like to say it's been a tough week for the majority of us, but no. But the 48 or so percent of us, it's, I mean, listen, we like to joke about things here on the show, but this has actually been a crazy week since Election Day, since Kamala Harris lost. And I mean, the mental health crisis going on right now is not comical at all. It's directly affecting people I am related to, some of which I'm parents of, and friends, family, and everyone else. I mean, legit stuff.
Across the board, for me too, dude. From women in my life that I love and care for, to the LGBTQ plus community, and you know, the people of color in my life. I mean, all across the board, dude, for people who worry about medical coverage. I mean, everyone is directly affected by this on some level. Some much more than others. And I'm trying to be sensitive to all of them, even the ones that I don't quite understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, listen, on one level, like you and I were talking about off air, we're a couple of middle-aged white dudes that can blend in with the herd out there. So I want to say you and I aren't in so much jeopardy, but that's really not true if the economy crashes and Supreme Courts are stacked for years to come and the judiciary and all that stuff. Like, it's going to affect everybody. But yeah, certainly if you're a minority, if you're a woman, if you're gay, transgendered, it's going to affect you pretty significantly. And everything I just described there describes many, many people in my friends and family circle.
For sure. And we, I mean, when you think about everybody, dude, I think about it this way, okay? For me, I was trying to figure out, like, how does this directly affect me? Because obviously it affects us because people I care about are suffering, right? But how does it directly affect me? And I think about the collapse of the healthcare system, having insurance for pre-existing conditions, you know, stuff like that. I mean, in every nook and cranny, I think somebody can find something that this will affect you in a negative way.
Don't worry about your healthcare. He's got a concept of a plan. I'm sure we'll hear that very, very soon. So.
He does, dude. The rhetoric is flying. I mean, people are feeling emboldened. I mean, 2016 definitely got me down where I felt that pit in my stomach. Like, oh, shit, what just happened? But this time around, I mean, this is a whole different story for me. I mean, it didn't knock me to the ground where I couldn't get up the next morning and be like, okay, moving forward, like I'm going to take care of shit. This one put me in bed, dude. I mean, I didn't want to talk to anyone. I really didn't.
Yeah. It's a little sad that we've lived through this before. So I'm trying not to repeat the mistakes we made in 2016 of becoming miserably depressed. And, you know, I spent months off of social media after, 2016 and felt completely defeated. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like me personally amongst the circle, I don't know if bouncing back is the right word, but I feel like I'm trying to rise to the challenge because I don't know what else to do other than to rise to it. You know, I mean, there's this sort of easy knee-jerk reaction that all of us Democrats and liberals, well, we're wrong. That's the end of that. And that is obviously not the case. We're all still proud liberals. We're all still fighting for the right causes. I mean, yeah, we lost this battle, but there's still a war going on out there. And I don't see any other option other than forging forward, even if we got to wait 2 years for the next election. Like, what else could we possibly do? Just give into this?
Not a time to lie down. It's not a time to become complacent. I've heard the term grieving a lot in the past few days. Like, it's okay to grieve what happened. And that may sound dramatic to some of the mega type, but grieving, we're not grieving because our person lost. We're grieving for all the things the people we care about are about to lose. And this is something that we also are forced to think about. Like, the people that I know in my life and love who voted for Trump, I have to not only think about them in the respects of like, oh God, you don't realize this was a fuck around and find out. Like, yeah, you're about to find out, dude. All the people who said like, I'd like to have a little extra coin in my pocket. You know, I'm doing it for this. I'm doing it for these trivial reasons at the heart of everything. Like, it is going to be a find out. This is not my problem. This is going to be your problem. And I don't wish that upon you, but it's going to happen.
Like I've been saying online, like, careful what you wish for, you might get it. Careful what you wish for, you might regret it. I mean, I first of all, I just want to, I guess, commend us and other liberals. Like, none of us are running around claiming this election was stolen or that there was some sort of fraud. None of us are claiming fake news. Like, we all see that this was a fair and open election. We saw the returns coming in that night. We saw the metrics going the wrong way. None of us are throwing a big freaking hissy fit that the election was stolen. Like, we're still grounded in reality. And as much as I don't want to give us a pat on the back for that, apparently, it does stand out when you compare this to the last election, which that election was fraudulent, but somehow this one is legit, right?
Well, I mean, he was calling fraud as this one was being counted in preparation for the possibility that it may be a fraudulent election. So who knows, dude? We know it's all bullshit.
Yeah, but there are real consequences potentially to come, you know? I mean, the debate is he really going to follow through on all of these things that he has promised? And I have a list here. We'll get into it. Part of me thought, okay, he can't really follow through on all of these things. Someone's going to tell him it's going to be crazy. You deport millions of people, it's going to destroy the economy. If you put tariffs on, it's going to destroy the economy. Like, I thought those things may register. But, you know, he said at a speech that night that promises made will be promises kept. So I don't see any sign that he's thinking about backing down from any of this.
It's interesting because you think about promises of 2016 and many were not kept. And he was, said he was going to deliver on all those as well. The tight spot that we find ourselves in, or at least I find myself in, is that, you know what, I'm going to hold out to see if he carries through on these promises because there is a good possibility on some of them. I mean, they just don't work. You can't deport all those people and put tariffs on. You have to do one or the other, and both of them are going to mess the economy up. But, you know what, you don't want anyone to eat? You promise free food, so how can you deport all these immigrants that are picking and growing our food by a margin of like 80% or more? Right. And then you're putting tariffs on? Like, I don't know how cheap food comes into that picture.
Yeah. Like you said, F around and find out. I mean, he apparently is going to follow through on these things, and then we're just going to have to sit back and watch. Have you ever been like, I don't know, making an IKEA project, a bookshelf, and you're over there working on it, and then someone is sitting back, be it your brother or your wife or your kids, and they're like, I could do that better. Give me that hammer. Let me take it. And in those cases, I tend to go, all right, here's the hammer. And then I sit back and sip on a beer and just watch. And 9 times out of 10, within a few minutes, they've broken something and are like, hey, never, you know what? This is actually harder than I thought. Can you take this back again? And yes. I feel like that's what we're all about to watch. You know, we have a long history of Republicans screwing up the economy, Democrats fixing it, handing it off to a Republican who then screws it up, hands it back to a Democrat who fixes it. Like, I feel that that's what we're about to do. The Dems are all going to sit back and watch, and either you're all brilliant in the mega world and you're going to solve all their problems, or you're going to completely screw it up and hand the tools back to us.
And the problem is like you just mentioned, I mean, there's been this cycle of Republicans taking over economies that are running well and taking credit for them. That's been an ongoing cycle, and it's about to happen again. I mean, the economy that all of those conservatives said is terrible, is the absolute worst, is about to be taken over by President-elect Trump, and he's going to take credit for the good numbers that are there. And when he calls them good, you're all going to be like, yeah, look how quick he got that fixed.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't broken, dude.
Yeah, come January, this will go from being the worst economy in the world to the Trump economy, instantly better. Just simply stating the facts that inflation is down, unemployment is down, wages are up, like all of these things that are reality. And apparently what so many people voted against Harris based on. I think the only good news about maybe handing over this, you know, economy that's ready to really gain steam is that we're going to be able to watch it fall apart. You know, if we handed him a terrible economy, he could then hide underneath that. But we're handing him an economy that's ready to go. So what are you going to do with it? Because you're right. If he puts on tariffs, if he's deporting millions of people, like it's going to destroy all of that. So at least there will be very tangible metrics. Gas prices are low. Let's see what happens with them. Like, and again, presidents can't control that. But if you screw with the economy, that does affect it.
Yeah, it's a good point. And when you say promises made, promises kept, it'll be interesting because there are a lot of promises that are supposed to take place and be completed on day one. Right. So many that I don't know if a man or a god could ever take care of everything that he's mentioned he'll do on day one and actually do it.
Right. Well, all right, since you brought it up, like, can I run through a couple of these things he's saying he's going to do? And some of them, yes, are apparently going to happen either on day one or before day one. So any day now.
Can I just say before you do that there's been a part of me that's been mixed in my brain about like, oh, I don't feel like it's right to talk about all this bullshit, the economy, stuff like that, because there's human rights at stake. And I feel like that is the highlight of everything we should be talking about. Yeah. It's impossible because so many people voted him in for these economical reasons and stuff like that. So it all needs to be talked about. My heart is definitely waning towards the human rights issues, but we do need to talk about it all.
All right. So here's what Trump said during the campaign that he's going to do. Let's break it down topic at a time. Immigration. Now, yes, Trump has repeatedly said that on day one, he will seal the border and launch, quote, the largest deportation program in American history. And just today, NBC News asked Trump about this, and he is sticking to the pledge. And not only that, he said that there is no price tag to get this done. In other words, blank check, doesn't care what it's going to cost. He is sticking to deporting millions of people, which will require concentration camps, BT-dubs. And not to mention families torn apart, coworkers, office spaces. I mean, so many people don't understand that you work or know people that may have been born here, but do not yet have legal immigration status. The average wait is something like in the 16-year range. So you're telling me all of these people are just going to get rounded up, which is going to cause chaos, it's going to cause violence, it's going to cause death, and of course, it's going to destroy the economy. Not only are we not going to have people out, you know, picking crops and helping on construction sites and all that kind of stuff, but undocumented immigrants put billions of dollars into our tax system every year, not only through Social Security, they'll never see the benefits of coming off their paychecks, but also, you know, their sales tax, they're shopping at stores, they're putting money into the economy. That will all go away.
I am directly affected by this, and I would have to assume that millions of us are. I've got someone in my life that has become family to me, and her fiance, her daughter, they'll be sent back to nothing because they've been here for, you know, decades. they don't have a home to go to. This is their home. And when you think about those people are sitting up crying themselves to sleep at night and not able to function because they don't have the safety and security of home anymore. I mean, you know what that's like, Harness, on one level of just like actually losing your home. But right. to lose your country, everything you know, every person you know, and be sent to a foreign land is right. unfathomable.
I can't imagine when I did lose my home, also being sent to Germany or Scotland, where my family's from. Just like, I don't have a house here. I've never been here, or my family hasn't been here forever. Like, that's mind-blowing, but that is what he is pledging he is going to do.
Yeah, yeah. Because they deserve it, right? I mean, let's get them out of here. The truth of the matter is, statistically, if you look at immigrants that commit crimes, it's a very low number. The Fox Entertainment Network would have you believe something different, but you're believing false information, and it's a tragedy, dude.
Yeah. I will say California Governor Gavin Newsom today called for an emergency session of the California government, trying to immediately protect all the rights that Californians enjoy. Immigration being on the list, abortion access, all these things. Like, California is, of course, the liberal bastion. And I think Newsom is probably going to try to lead the charge as far as what blue state governors can protect.
I hope so. I hope it just keeps heading north, dude. I mean, I want it to come up to Washington, and every Democrat should be doing that exact same thing in their cities.
Yes. However, you know, there are certain states' rights, and there are federal stuff that trumps it. No pun intended. I mean, marijuana is a great example. California, Washington State, pot's illegal, but it's not legal federally. So if the feds choose to crack down on that, then those state laws don't mean anything. And by the way, I haven't heard if Trump's going to try to crack down on pot or not, because that's obviously become a major part of lifestyles, economies, and everything else in the states that do allow it. So is that all going to go away? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? It's a lot of tax revenue.
Yeah, and speaking of states' rights, so the next thing on the list here is abortion. On reproductive rights, a central issue in this election, Trump has said that he would veto a federal abortion ban, if you believe what he said, but he will allow individual states to restrict the procedure as they wish. In his first term, Trump managed to get three of his conservative nominees to the Supreme Court. They're the ones that, of course, led to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. In comments that were widely criticized by Democrats, though, Trump said that he would, quote, protect women whether they like it or not. So yeah. I guess he's got your backs, women, as long as you don't live in a red state.
Your fronts, your sides, your unders. I mean, he's got you covered.
And based on the latest election results, a lot of you live in red states that maybe you thought was good. I'm looking at you, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Nevada, Georgia. I know you thought you were a blue state, but now you're red. So maybe your rights are screwed.
Yeah, and it is. It was so many women voting red, dude, against their own interests. It's the first thing my wife said to me. They did it again. All these people voted against their interests. I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. And sent me an article on critical thinking, which, you know, I would say that a lot of those reds lack critical thinking.
Yeah. Listen, black women, you're off the hook. You guys showed up in record numbers and did your thing. Every other demographic, you're on the hook. Especially white women, by the way. All of this talk about, you know, canceling out your husband's vote and all that stuff didn't happen. Certainly not in any red or swing state.
The youth vote that we were so excited for, I mean, male youth, I mean, you really shit the bed. Just because Trump was on Joe Rogan, I would have to assume you guys voted for him. I don't understand it otherwise. Like, what yes. in the world?
The youth vote and the first-time voters tipped to Trump. Yeah. Unbelievable. But those are the facts, Jack, so blame yourselves. Next thing on the list, the economy. Trump said that he will end inflation. End it. No more inflation, everyone. Hey, that's good news.
It'll be a 0.0.0. Right. Is that what he's saying?
End inflation. He calls for historic tax cuts for all of us. That won't hurt the economy in any way, shape, or form. He said this will include no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security benefits, and a tax credit for family caregivers who take care of a parent or loved one. These are interesting claims. Will he actually do them?
we'll have to see. Here's the thing you also got to think about is, you know what, we're worried about Trump just staying here until his body withers away and he dies, right?
Yes.
But if it goes as it should, he's here 4 years, can't ever run again. What a great last celebration. Do anything you want. Screw things up as bad as you can. I'm out. It's one last hurrah. It's Rumspringer.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. For everyone who has said, hey, his first 4 years weren't so bad. Well, he had major guardrails in place then, and he had to worry about reelection. Now he has no reelection to worry about, although he may try to claim a second or third term, as he's mentioned before. But the guardrails are gone. He's not going to hire any, you know, career politicians, people with any sort of moral compass. It'll all be sycophants, mega types, and the Trump lovers that'll be around him. And no one's going to try to keep him in check. And why would they?
But you've heard this. You've heard this for years. You've heard it for years, and you didn't seem to care. So I guess we're not talking to you right now. We're just getting some of the frustration out that some of us Democrats are feeling, some of us liberals are feeling.
Yes. You bring up a valid point right there, actually. We're not talking to the red voters. You know, these last many months, we've had a debate going on because there was an election coming up, which is why we were arguing with so many conservatives and center voters, like trying to sway people. That ship has sailed. Now it's all about trying to rally the troops, the left-leaning progressives, the liberals, the Democrats, whatever you want to call all of us. Now's the time to be talking to each other, you know? I don't need to see their comments, the mega types and the Trumpers. Like, that ship sailed. Now we need to rally the troops because we've got a war coming up here in 2 years and we got to get ready for it. So it's all hands on blue deck. I don't really give a shit what the other side thinks right now.
You know what? I beg to differ with you, Stephen. I think we have a war coming up in January. I mean, this is something we need to kick off and start getting ready for right now. As far as, like you were just mentioning, Gavin Newsom calling an emergency hearing, we need to get together and start actually working on helping people along the next 2 years and then be ready to go in those next 2 years.
Yeah. Listen, blue states, I guess you got some work that can get done. But for the average Joe citizen, I don't know what we're supposed to do other than keep the flame burning, keep the conversation going. We cannot just roll over and let him get away with this stuff. We have to highlight it. The mega types are never going to vote, you know, against any Republican candidate, but we still can win back the center. And it's only going to be by highlighting the disasters that are to come.
Yes, yes. And cleaning up the mess. I mean, you know, we've said so many different times, like, have a seat, like the adults will take care of this one. Like, there's going to be so much to clean up that he does do. And we can try and defend what he is trying to do. And we'll see how that goes. But I think, you know, on small levels, you can, or we all can, continue to be there for some of these people that are extra marginalized, some of these people that are going to be feeling these effects immediately. We can walk them through as much as we can these next 2 years.
Yeah, I guess we can be here for emotional support, but it's the team vibe, all of us getting together. I mean, it's going to take a village for this one. So, by the way, real quick, on the topic of the economy, Trump did say that he will not go after the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare. So is that something he's going to stick with? I can't imagine his mega, you know, underlings are going to let him follow through with that. I think they're going to want to go after Obamacare, even if he just repeals it and puts it right back in place. And now it's Trump care, you know?
Yeah. Here's the thing, dude. I don't put anything past him. If there's one thing we've learned, there's nothing we can't put past him, you know? Who knows what he's going to do? That's the other thing. It can change on a whim. Have a conversation in the hallway of, like, I'd like to get that done, Mr. Trump. If it benefits him, he's going to do it, dude.
Yep. Next topic is the environment. For cars made in the U.S., Trump said he's going to make interest on car loans fully tax deductible. Okay. He said he's going to terminate the electric vehicle rules published by Biden's administration. He's going to make it more difficult for gas-powered cars to keep up with increasingly stringent environmental protection standards. I apologize. I misread that. That's what Biden put in place. That's what Trump's going to get rid of.
Yeah.
His gas-powered cars' abilities to keep up with these thresholds. Now, here's the big one on the environment, because, again, Trump made a lot of bold claims that the mega types sucked up. So I'm going to wait and see this one happen. Without providing a plan on any level, Trump said that he will cut consumer energy prices in half within the first 12 months of taking office. So all of your electricity, all of your gas, apparently that's all going to just be cut in half magically in this upcoming year here.
Incredible, dude. I mean, if you can get some of these things done, I'm not against it. Go ahead, try it, dude.
Right. I hope his magic wand is ready to go, because I'd love to see how he's going to do that. On foreign policy, Trump has said that he will end Russia's war with Ukraine within a day. Now, I don't know if he designated which day that is, first day, last day, but I thought he actually said before he took office he could get that done. So honestly, if you're in Ukraine, if you know anyone there, if you're related to or give a crap about anyone in Ukraine, this is not good for them at all.
No, I mean, the only way that that could possibly happen is if he says, okay, Ukraine, time to lose some territory. Like, we'll get this stopped real quick. So everything that they've been fighting for, losing lives for, bye-bye.
Yeah. He has said that there's a compromise to be found. Could you fathom if Mexico invaded America and we just said to Mexico, like, you know what? Go ahead. Take Texas. We should compromise. Let's meet in the middle. I know you invaded us, but you already took over Texas, so just go ahead and keep it. That is what Trump is saying about Russia invading Ukraine. Hey, they've already taken some ground. Just let's all compromise. Let them take a little bit of your country.
What does that tell you if you're Putin?
Oh, run wild. Run effing wild. All of Europe should be worried. And the Middle East, by the way, I mean, he's going to let Israel kind of do what they want, which may finally end this whole stupid thing, just kill each other off. But, you know, diplomacy seems to be the correct answer. He's going to let Netanyahu just go ahead and do whatever you want. You just want to genocide all of Gaza? Go ahead. Trump's not going to stop you.
That relationship that's forming with Netanyahu, too, you should be more worried about than you think you should. I mean, this was once a democratic society as well.
Yes. Retaliation. Trump has called for criminal prosecutions of at least 16 rival politicians, 15 law enforcement, military, and intelligence officials. Not to mention some tech billionaires. I believe they're referring to Mark Zuckerberg there. Trump said that he believes the sitting and former members of Congress who are part of the January 6th committee, like Jamie Raskin, Liz Cheney, should be prosecuted for their lies and for their treason. And he also said he plans to go after Biden and his family and special counsel Jack Smith and Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Dude, you wonder, is this just a bunch of rhetoric? I mean, was he just saying all that stuff to get people fired up? Because they love that whole lock her up thing with Hillary Clinton. And then there came a time when Trump was even saying, like, yeah, we should stop saying that now. Like, that sounded good then. But, you know, it's time to move forward because it was rhetoric, right?
Well, the Hillary Clinton stuff, but this is all new things. And he's got an axe to grind, so... Promises made, promises kept. He's saying he's going to do all this, so we'll see.
Jack Smith, he's saying that he's going to do it in the first 30 seconds of being sworn in. Jack Smith will be fired.
Yeah. Let me just finish this list and then, yeah, remind me, because then we'll talk about King Trump getting out of all of his jail time coming up here.
All right.
The last thing on the list is what you brought up earlier, the culture wars. Trump leaned heavily into anti-transgender rhetoric during his campaign, promising to enact restrictive policies during his administration. He said, quote, on day one, I will sign a new executive order to cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, transgender insanity, and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content onto the shoulders of our children. Trump said that he will not give one penny to any school that has a vaccine mandate or a mask mandate. Now, I don't know what school has a mask mandate anymore, but almost all of them have vaccine mandates.
What up, polio? let's just see these things return.
Right. That's in addition to him declaring that he's going to get rid of the Department of Education. And, Kennedy works in education. I asked her, if your school just lost, you know, the Department of Education funding, what would it do? She said it would blow about a 20% hole in their budget, teachers would be fired, and there is no way to make that gap up unless your local towns are all going to pass tax increases to help offset that loss. Otherwise, we lose real money, real teachers, real staff, real extracurriculars, and there's no way to make that up. It's just gone.
Hmm.
So you're saying it's not a good thing?
No.
Yeah.
But it's what he's promised to do.
Yeah. Well, I just wants to put everything back to the states, Steve. Just wants to put everything back to the states.
And you may think, well, I'm in a red state, so my schools will be safe. No, not if you have vaccine mandates in place, as almost every public school does. And if you're teaching what he considers to be inappropriate racial material, I mean, how are you going to define that? Is teaching about slavery? Is teaching about any of that stuff? Civil War? You know, admonishing the Southern generals and all that? Who's going to determine what is inappropriate for your kids to be taught, which will then lead to them not having federal funding?
It's insane, dude. It's insane, and I don't know where we're going, dude. I feel like we're in a car speeding towards a brick wall with a blindfold. It's just a matter of when we hit the wall. I don't know when it happens.
Yes, and circle back to what we were talking about, Jack Smith, you know. I said this before the election, but now I feel it 100-fold. Judge Juan Marchand in New York City, you just fucked all of us. You know, Trump's been found guilty on those 34 felony counts of fraud and election interference. And Judge Marchand said, I don't want to interfere with the election, and announced that he's going to be going to jail before the election. So I'm going to wait and do it 2 weeks after the election. Well, guess what? Every legal expert I've heard from has now said that's never going to happen. You can't sentence a soon-to-be sitting president to prison of any kind, house arrest or anything else. So what, are they going to delay it for 4 years? No. And what if the governors just decide to pardon this crime? Like in Georgia, you know, Fannie Willis still has her case down there, but what, she can't do anything with it. And these federal cases are just gone. Jack Smith has already announced, well, reports are that Jack Smith is already winding down these prosecutions because the Department of Justice cannot prosecute a sitting president. So what would be the point of pursuing any of this? So King Trump has just been elected and has now gotten out of four potential criminal cases, one of which he was about to be sentenced to jail for, off scot-free. Long live the king.
Law and order, dude. I mean, what in the world just, well, you know what? I'll tell you what just happened. Exactly what he said was going to happen. I mean, he's a tea leaf reader of the ultimate degree. He told you what was going to happen. He told you he was going to pardon himself. All this stuff was going to go away. You knew what was going to happen. You voted for it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I say. I mean, we really did just elect a king. Not only will he get out of past crimes, but now his Supreme Court has given him essentially blanket immunity from anything that he claims is an official act. So not only are the traditional guardrails of a good attorney general or a good chief of staff gone, but the Supreme Court has just given him blanket immunity. And it would take years to somehow sort that out in court after he's out of office, assuming he somehow would even live that long.
Yeah. Did you just see that they're putting up Eileen Cannon, who tossed Trump's classified documents case out in Florida? She's on the short list of two to be his new AG. Yeah. He's got her on the list, dude. Possible. I mean, that doesn't seem as a conflict of interest to anyone.
It doesn't matter. None of that matters, Nick. I mean, you're still grounded in reality. She was not qualified to be appointed to the judgeship she was down in Florida for that whole district there. She's certainly not qualified to be AG or, God forbid, on the Supreme Court one of these days. But this is part of what we are having to deal with, is our two political parties operate in different universes. The Democrats still have some sort of rules and ethics where if somebody's found guilty of a crime, obviously you're gone. If you lose a federal election, obviously you're gone. You think we're running Kamala Harris again in 4 years? Of course not. We operate in two totally different universes.
You're right. You're right. It's hard to take, but you're right. You're 100% right. And that is where I lose the idea of any progress happening. This is what scares me. Okay, we can get all of us blues, all of us liberals fired up. But for the people that voted for Trump, there's this weird thing floating in me that's like, oh, I can't just turn my back on him completely because I need those numbers to help my cause at some point, you know? So I don't want to associate with people like that. You know, you hear all these women talking about the fact that, okay, we're going to wear blue bracelets because I went into the school drop-off line on Tuesday morning and I looked around and didn't know who I could trust. you know, I didn't know who I could trust. So I need to see some representation that, hey, we think alike, you know.
Right.
How do we continue to talk to these people, and especially the ones that we love in our families, dude? Obviously, I'm going to continue talking to them, but I can't say that I didn't lose some respect for the fact that you didn't have enough respect for people other than yourself to vote in a certain way.
Yeah. You know, this show has been called The Vocal Minority since 2001, and originally that term was about the audience calling in. That in radio, only a minority of your audience ever calls, but they're a vocal minority. I feel like the show has a whole new meaning now because you and me and everyone else who voted Kamala, we are now in the minority. I know it's by a narrow margin, but we are in the minority. And if we're not going to be a vocal minority, then I don't know why we're even bothering to get out of bed anymore. Because we do have to push against this. We do have to win the war, even though we lost the battle. And we have real human beings being affected by this stuff. You know, my daughter is gay, and her and her, I start crying, her and her dorm mates were in hysteria, you know, watching the election unfold and into the next day. They don't know if they're going to lose the right to marriage equality. They don't know what kind of harassment they're going to be putting up with out there. And of course, the whole transgender community. And this is why we have now seen, let's see here, crisis services for the LGBT community have seen a sharp uptick in usage during this past week. This is a suicide prevention line. They saw a 125% increase in calls from the gay community, from people that are feeling depressed, suicidal, and completely lost. Because these are real fucking human beings who have now been put under the microscope and who are now being targeted, whose rights will be taken away, harassment will spike, and they have been made to feel like less than anyone else on this planet.
That's it, dude, right there. Made to feel less. Somehow they are less human than you, less human than I. And you can laugh at that and say that you're crazy. Don't be so sensitive. That's exactly how they feel. I've talked to many people in this community, and that's exactly how they're feeling. And I know the difference between a get up, you know.
Yeah.
They're being serious.
Yeah. You know, my kiddo, I'm so proud of them, you know, a freshman in college. Not only did they vote in their first election, but they worked the polls in a major city all day long from 4 o'clock in the morning, getting their set and everything up all the way until it closed. And then they got home and started watching the results. And Neil called me at about, I don't know, 9:30 that time, West Coast time that night, and asked me, like, this was before they declared who had won. And she called me and asked me, like, Dad, this is not looking good. And I had to tell my kid, like, this is not going to end well. You know, the writing's on the wall. We see the metrics. We see that she's down a point or two in districts all over the country. So I know the networks haven't called it, but this is over. And this is not the result any of us wanted. And I'm so ashamed that they did such a patriotic thing that day and that it blew up literally in their face. And of all her other college classmates and every gay friend she has, every transgendered friend, both locally and online. I mean, it's just a complete smack in the face. And I had to be the one to explain all that.
And somehow you bear some responsibility to it. Only because in having to explain it, like, this is the world we live in, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to remind her, we have all done our best, you know, we fought the good fight and we cannot take that back, nor should we. And we have to proceed on. And I gave my kid a quote from Batman that I've told my kids many times when Alfred said to a young Bruce Wayne when he fell down the hole into the Batcave, like, why do we fall? So we can learn to get back up again. That is the only silver lining of falling down. You got to dust yourself up and get back up, get back on the horse, pick your metaphor. But choosing to just get out of this, just bury your head right now, is not an option. We lost the battle, yeah, but we have not lost the war.
I listened to a black woman talking to other women, other men who voted for Kamala. And she had a great message. I mean, it was one of hope, obviously, but she started out by thanking those people voting for Kamala and signing up and seeing her as a human being, which is ridiculous that she would ever have to do that. But she continued to talk and said, you know what? I have ancestors that I continue to feel the pain of. And you know how many times we have been knocked down and gotten back up? Mm-hmm. Like, now you voted for Kamala. Like, you don't get to sit down and say we lost. You can take your time and grieve and be sad. But this is, you don't sit down. Like, it's time to get up. We keep fighting. We keep moving forward. And you got into the movement, you don't get to get out. You know, this is Hotel California, okay?
Yeah, you can check out, but you can never leave. You know, I mean, it's true. We fought so hard for so many of these rights, and some of them have either already been taken away or now in jeopardy. And the only option is just to fight to get them back. You know, I wish that we could have closed the door behind us on Roe v. Wade and never have that right taken away, but it's gone. We fought so hard for marriage equality for the LGBT community. That could be gone. And if it happens, we just have to fight again to get it back like we fought to get it the first time.
That is undeniable, dude. That's exactly what we have to do.
So let me run down some random notes and thoughts I've had. And these are questions a lot of people have been asking me. I mean, you know, as I said on TikTok the other day, on one level, I'm proud, I guess, that everyone in my world is calling me for these answers. And people online are looking at us for answers, and the fucking mega trolls are just harassing the living crap out of us right now. But it's still somewhat of a compliment, Nick. They look at us as being representatives of the left, and I don't know if we've earned that title or not, but here we are, you know?
Yes, 100%. So I'll take it as a compliment. I'm not listening, by the way. You're not affecting me. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm unaffected, and just goes to prove our point of we act differently. We're in two different realities here. So,
well, I'll tell you, it is affecting me, but in a motivating sort of factor. You know, your anger, your hatred, your bigotry, it's just making me stronger and more motivated to not stop this fight, to make the vocal minority a whole new thing, to hold people accountable. And I will tell you, you know, we were talking last show about on Reddit that we had some posts that got millions of views. And boy, the trolls have just been coming at us, you know, through those posts and through direct messages. And
yeah.
So today on Reddit, and I posted this elsewhere, but I decided to respond to them. So allow me to just read what the vocal minority, I know I wrote it, so sorry if you get any hate mail, Nick, but
no,
you know,
please.
People are harassing the crap out of us online. So instead of responding to the hundreds, if not thousands, of trolls coming at us, I mean, literally one of our posts had 100,000 viewer spike, and none of those people were liberals coming on to express anything. It's all trolls. So 100,000 of them came looking for us. Everyone's just, you know, gloating and bragging. And the one I chose to respond to, someone that just simply said, "You lost, suck it, libs." And there's so much of that, you know, of just bashing, you know, all of us. So I replied and I said to all of the mega types out there that harassing us online and doing their victory dance, I said, you're a sore winner. Notice that we're not whining about a stolen election. We're conceding because we respect our elections. Your harassment of us and other Democrats only proves our point that you're bullies, you're bad people. And if you disagree, then why are you, Putin, and the KKK all celebrating together right now? Careful what you wish for, you might get it. Careful what you wish, you might regret it. We're going to be watching. Trump has escaped accountability. Time will not grant Republicans that same luxury. Trump has skated by. He has gotten away from all of this. But the rest of you are going to be left standing when this 4 years is over. And we're watching.
Indeed we are.
So let's dissect a couple of things here, Nick, get our takes on it. The first question that, you know, I started hearing immediately on election night, and I've been waiting for it. Did we make a mistake? Should we have kept Joe Biden on the ticket? What are your thoughts before I register mine?
I don't think we should have kept Joe Biden on the ticket. You know, I think that that would be disingenuous. And I think that Joe Biden understood that. That's a hard thing to accept, that your mental capabilities are in decline. Like, it's a hard thing to take, but he came to that reasoning. People, you know, kept referring to it as a coup. And I don't think it was that at all. So, no, I think we did the right thing. I don't know how the campaign could have run better. But it obviously could have. But Joe Biden, that was the right decision, in my opinion.
Yes. We were walking into an epic slaughter. I mean, I know electorally this did not go very well at all, but I will contend until my dying days that Joe Biden would have been absolutely slaughtered. And Kamala was our best chance, as we were saying for these last several months. You know, we had a chance to put in a new nominee. And Joe Biden, I think, would have been absolutely slaughtered. And longtime Republican pollster Frank Lutz agrees with us. He argued that Kamala Harris's decision to align herself tightly with Joe Biden is one of the top factors that led to her losing all of this. And one of the main Trump ads that was running out there was this quote of Kamala saying, like, no, I wouldn't have done anything different over these last 4 years. Her aligning herself with Biden is a major reason she lost. So if it had been Biden himself, we probably would have lost every freaking state. I mean, maybe not California, but we probably would have been epically slaughtered. So I don't accept that logic.
Yeah, nor do I. I think that's 100% right. Do you agree with the fact that Kamala sticking by Biden through all of that as closely as she did was an error?
No, I think she needed to stand by, because I don't know what Biden did in the last 4 years that was so terrible. And one of the other big factors was, of course, the economy, inflation. And tell me what Biden did to cause inflation. Answer is nothing. What did he do to fix it? The answer is everything. Better than any other country on the planet. So
right.
You can't distance yourself from that reality, because the reality should have settled in on people that inflation is way the hell down to almost normal acceptable levels and heading in the right direction. Wages up, prices of consumer goods coming down. So I don't know how she could have distanced herself from any of that in any logical world.
It all came down at a rate that is sustainable. You know, when those things dip so low so quickly, you know, the stock market was huge on November 7th, right? Or November 6th. And, you know, people are like, look at it already. Like, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, they're anticipating deregulation and everything else is being handed to them.
Yes. The only thing that I do think is a mistake, and it was forced upon her and she didn't take the advantage of it that I felt like she should have, is this myth that a vice president, you know, she's been in for 4 years. What has she done? You know, the role of a vice president, we've talked about it on the podcast before. I think that Republicans very conveniently are confused about what that role actually is. I feel like that she should have talked about that more, that she should have separated and talked about, you know, my role is to support the president as a VP. It's not my role to do all these things that you guys are wondering why I didn't do.
Yeah. A lot of people pointed that out. It didn't seem to matter to anyone against her. But this does lead us to the next question. Can we ever elect a woman in this country? You know, she underperformed by 1 to 2 percentage points, which back in 2016 is what I accredited the same margin with Hillary Clinton, that sexism led to about a 2-point drop. Some other things led to a bigger gap with Hillary. But can we elect a woman in this country? Is that even a possibility?
You're asking if we can. You're not asking if I can, because I think we should have done it a long freaking time ago. But can we? No, obviously not. You know, my wife was crying on the phone to me, not for her, but for the young women of this country now that have to look at this scenario and be like, oh, I can't be the president. I can't do this. Like, all of these things turned into can'ts for women and young girls.
Yeah.
I don't think we can.
I don't think we're ready to. I would like to say that that's a terribly sexist, stupid thing to say, but reality has dictated that 2016, 2024, I think it was a contributing factor, to say the least. And if any woman out there wants to disagree, you better be a black woman. Because I don't want to hear from white women, because you didn't show up to support your fellow woman. Not even 50%. Like, it was like 37% or something of white women that voted for Kamala. So
yeah.
Don't tell me that it's sexist to say a woman can't win. Reality has dictated it. We supported her. We had her back. Women didn't. So don't tell us it's sexist. It seems to be reality.
Yes, it does. And you know what? I can already hear it in my head. Like, oh, a woman could be president if she was capable. Like, she was just the wrong person. She's stupid. She's this. She's that. Yeah. That's not factual, dude. That is not factual. And it takes very, very little research to know that for yourself as a fact. So shame on you. That's not why you didn't vote for her, because she was a woman. And you extra didn't vote for her because she was a woman of color. Just say it out loud, dude.
Yeah, we are not going to take this risk in 4 years. I'll tell you that. I'll be voting in the Democratic primary. I don't care if it's AOC or someone else who's wholly qualified. We cannot take the risk again. I am very sorry, but the last couple of elections have shown us that we cannot take that gamble. Sorry, we're going to have to put a guy out there.
I think that there's women who feel that way. You know, women that voted for Kamala that feel that way, too. Yeah. That's what's so freaking sad about it. That's what you took away from them, that possibility.
I would like to believe that Trump is a once-in-a-lifetime sort of phenomenon, the Teflon Don, that nothing has stuck to him. So I don't think MAGA can keep this up without a Trump-like person. But in the next election in 4 years, we're not taking the gamble. Sorry, we need to get the reins back. So we need to run a safe, probably more towards the center guy. Maybe a guy of color. Obama pulled it off, but it's got to be a guy.
Yeah, unfortunately so. I mean, that's where we're at, so.
The right, by the way, just has no moral high ground left. I don't ever want to hear that they're the religious party, the party of family values, any of that crap. You have lost the moral high ground, and you can never reclaim it. And I don't know if Democrats, if we need to nominate just some celebrity who cares if they sexually harassed somebody or broke some law or had a drunk driving or drug conviction. Like, the right has shown us that they don't give a crap about a predator, a felon, a racist, an insurrectionist. So why should we?
Yeah, there's no reason for it. I will not sit by and think that you have any moral high ground whatsoever, because you've proven that is malleable. Whatever your high ground is malleable depending on what you want. That's not real to me. I don't respect it.
Right. We all know that Trump is a malignant narcissist, that he is doing all of this because he wants to be president, that he wants to be considered one of the greats. And I'm going to tell you something right now that I know you're going to laugh at, but this is a real thing. And if Donald Trump is really listening, he will hear what I'm going to say and take this opportunity. Trump has his cult, which, by the way, Cult 45 is now a religion. You can't call them a cult. They're the majority. So congratulations. You just went from cult status to religion, just like Scientology did. Kudos to you.
Yeah. Congratulations on your tax exemption.
Right. Trump does have this weird opportunity. His cult members are going to follow him no matter what. He could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and they'll keep following him. Trump actually, because he does not have to worry about losing them, he does not have to worry about a re-election, he could actually step out and say, you know what? Enough of the division. It is time to unite this country. If he did that, if he actually tried to center things out, stop the pendulum from swinging, tried to unite the country, he literally could go down as one of the greatest presidents of all time. He could get exactly what his ego wants. But I don't think he's going to zoom out far enough to see the opportunity ahead of him to actually be one of the greats.
Of course not, dude. Of course not. He sees what he's doing now as great. When he was compared to Hitler, when he was compared to dictators all around history that he praises, and in this current time, he looks at that as great. Hitler's generals stood up and they didn't say no. They followed him to what? That's great.
Yeah. I knew it was comical of me to say it, but it's a real opportunity. I mean, we have got to stop the pendulum from swinging, you know? Whoever we do pick for the next election, whatever dude it is going to be, God, I think it's got to be somebody near the center. Because just this pendulum, it's nauseating. It's dividing the country. It's tearing the country apart. We have got to get politicians back to compromising. It's what politics is supposed to be.
Yeah, that's what it used to be. People that, you know, Mitch McConnell saying, I'm a Reagan Republican. Like, yeah, you're 130 years old, dude. So many of these people are not that. And that's what has the MAGA crowd riled up. This is a WWE event. They love the entertainment aspect of it.
Yeah. And speaking of the old age kind of thing, I just want to say the Trump death clock is counting down, or if you prefer to call it, the countdown to President Vance is on right now. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
First of all, I would be amazed if Trump, who eats McDonald's and never exercises, lived through this next 4 years. That would be amazing. The other thing, when the guy was running for office recently here, there was two, debatably even three, assassination attempts. People are more pissed off than ever right now. I am not condoning it, advocating any of that crap. Don't even try to put that around my neck. I'm just saying the temperature is so high in this country right now that it would not surprise me at all if somebody again attempted to assassinate the man. So, death watch on. Will he die of natural causes or unnatural causes? Do you think he's going to make it through 4 years, or do we have a President Vance coming our way?
Oh, I don't know, dude. He could be one of those people that's too ornery to die, you know. he could be one of those people. Either way, you know, we're screwed in the aspects, everything we're talking about today. Throughout this whole thing, they've been talking about Project 2025, and Trump has been denouncing it. And when we talk about rhetoric flying around, you know who Matt Walsh is?
Remind me. I know the name. Who is Matt Walsh?
Matt Walsh is a guy who talks about, you know, men can't be women. He was big in that whole transgender bashing movement.
Oh,
he tweeted out immediately after, you know, Trump was announced that Project 2025. Oh, can we say that? Yeah, that was a real thing now. LOL. And he's not the only one. Steve Bannon's talking about it. Steve Bannon's back. Steve Bannon got out of jail just in time to join this party again.
Right. Steve Bannon, Stephen Miller, they're bringing a bad name to us Steves. But yeah, of course this is all real. And this is one of these things that we're going to be able to look at the MAGA crowd 6 months from now and go, oh, that whole Project 2025 thing you said you had nothing to do with? Look. And they already have rebranded it, right? Just so they can claim, oh, it's not Project 2025 anymore. What are they calling it now?
Yeah, they took the title off the front page. It's now called America First. It's a, you know, that's a nice sounding movement. Everyone wants America First in his constituents anyhow. So, yeah, America First is rebranded, and it is Project 2025 to every period, dot, T-I, everything.
Yeah. Like we said, no guardrails. Supreme Court's got his back. He can do what he wants. So what are the odds that Biden takes a little smelling salts and wakes up and realizes he has 2 months of immunity? He can do whatever he wants. He can do all sorts of things in these next 2 months. Is he going to do it, or are the Democrats still grounded in reality?
I don't know, dude. Part of me respects the fact that he will treat this office like it has been treated for since the beginning. But and there's part of me who says, you know what, when the rules are changed, you got to change the rules. You got, this is a new game we're playing here. It's not the same game.
Right. But he won't, of course. He can legalize pot. He could do a number of things. But he won't, because like we said earlier, our parties are in different universes. Democrats still have some sort of grounding to reality where, of course, Biden's not just going to run wild and break laws, even though he knows he has protection. But the next guy will.
It's not a joke. It's not hyperbole, folks.
And I might just want to point out to the MAGA types out there that love that Trump will have no guardrails and he's got the Supreme Court having his back. What's going to happen when a Democrat gets in there? When a Democrat realizes there's no guardrails and they can do what they want, are you still going to be in favor of all of that?
Yeah, that's interesting to think about, although it doesn't seem as dangerous to me. I mean, obviously, that's a dangerous thing. That position should always have guardrails. But I feel better about a Democrat being in there. It doesn't seem as drastic as having Trump in there.
Yeah. That's always been the thing, whether it's drone strikes or executive orders. Like, if you have a competent adult at the desk, you feel okay about it all. But what happens when you give that same power to a madman? Like, it's going to go off the rails. No accountability. And speaking of no accountability, by the way, why is it not a bigger story that Russia just directly interfered with our election with dozens of fake bomb threats spread out across swing states in our entire country?
Because people don't care, dude.
Right. And there will be no accountability. He's not going to hold his buddy Putin to the fire. But they interfere with our elections directly, threatening humans with bomb scares. But no one will care in the MAGA world because it worked to their advantage.
Yes. And you know what? Journalists will ask him, you know, do you denounce that? He's going to be like, well, you know, I'm looking into that. I don't know much about that. He's not going to denounce it because it's great. No.
Putin already called him to congratulate him on the win. Do you think Trump said, hey, by the way, hey, what's up with all the bomb threats? Do you think there's going to be sanctions against you for those bomb threats, right? I mean, please.
Yeah.
Insane.
Well, it's about to go very badly, and that's one thing that we can be sure of. The other thing that we can be sure of is that we are immobilizing. We are immobilizing, dude. We're not laying down.
Wait, immobilizing means we're not doing anything. You mean we're mobilizing?
Yeah, that's what I said. Mobilizing, Steve. Okay, we're mobilizing.
I feel immobile, but yeah. We really do need to mobilize. So yeah.
By Monday, we will mobilize and not immobilize. Like we're taking a week, dude. Come on.
Yeah, that's fair. I have one last story I got to get out there because, you know, we try to hold everyone accountable. And when I see liberals running wild with a myth, I do want to check it real quick.
Yeah, please do.
Been seeing this, and even one of our loyal listeners on our TikTok page commented about this. The headline, where are the 20 million missing votes? Dems cling to false hopes of a huge gap between Biden and Harris. Have you heard people saying this? Where'd the 20 million votes go?
Yes, yeah, I've heard some people talking about it.
Yeah, so the claim is that President Joe Biden won approximately 20 million more votes in the 2020 election than Vice President Kamala Harris just earned, proving that either Trump had cheated or that there was widespread fraud 4 years ago. There must be fraud somewhere if there's this 20 million vote gap. The problem is the claims are unfounded. Votes from this election are still being counted. So we don't have the actual totals yet. So any comparison with previous races would not be accurate. In addition, election officials and agencies monitoring all of this had said that we don't see any fraud. We don't see any corruption going on here. Certainly nothing that would amount to 20 million votes either being stolen or an extra 20 million put in. So the math just doesn't add up. We're not done adding all the votes up. So I know it's weird that we had a record turnout, yet Kamala got fewer votes than Biden did, and that probably will add up to be true, but it's what we were talking about earlier. These first voters, the women, these people, they may have shown up, but they didn't vote for her.
That's a lot of votes, dude. That's a lot of votes. Will those votes be accounted for once we're done counting? I mean, is there that many more votes to count is my question.
Yeah, I mean, California is always slow to count, which is why, by the way, we don't know who's going to control the House of Representatives yet. It's looking like probably a long shot that the Dems will keep control or take control, but there's still a possibility. But California takes several weeks to count all of the votes. So we can't really compare the numbers from this election to last election until all of the votes are counted. And not only is California not done, but a ton of states aren't done yet. So I get the urge to grasp at that straw, but don't do what they did and claim there's some unfounded election fraud going on.
Yes, that's what we said all along. If there is evidence, you can put it on my face and I can be like, what's up with that? Right. Go ahead. But otherwise, stop it. Stop it, please.
And if there is evidence, it will come out. The math is the math, you know, registered voters and who turned out. If there's some gigantic gap, of course, the free world will be all over that. But wait for the dust to settle, but don't cling on to that hope, because there has never been widespread election fraud. And for the Dems to now try to hope that there was, it's not a reality. It's what we've been telling MAGA for years, and it's still a reality now. I'm sorry.
And Steve, it's one of the reasons when you look at how MAGA takes a loss and how the Democrats take a loss, it's different because we are in reality here. We know the sad part about this whole thing is that the majority of Americans voted that way. Yeah. That's what's killing us inside. Mm-hmm. For them, it's, oh, we were taken advantage of. But no, we know that the country spoke and they elected Trump. That's sad.
Yep. We're not whining. We're not claiming fraud. I mean, some people are, but the bulk of us are not, because the math is what it is. That's why I was able to tell my firstborn before the election was declared that we're about to lose this thing, because you can see the numbers. If you're down by 200,000 votes and there's only 100,000 votes left from a Democratic stronghold, they're not all going to be for us. You can't make up that gap. The numbers are real. You know, you can wish and hope they weren't, but they are.
They are. Before we go, I just want to remind everyone, it's a good time to like just let people know that if they are feeling some type of way,
that's dangerous, that you are a phone call at any time of the night. And actually, this is where we step up and be there for each other, because like you mentioned, the suicide calls, the actual suicide numbers are up, and that is terrible. So yeah, just let people know. I hope everyone knows you're there for them.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to carry on. So yeah, be there for each other. And I understand that us Dems may need a little breather here, but the battle continues. So we've got to get back at it. And it's part of why we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We've always held Trump accountable for all these years, and I thought we were done with it, but we're not. So we're going to keep putting a magnifying glass on all of this stuff so that in 2 years and in 4 years, we're ready for these upcoming elections and that all of this stuff has been documented and put out there.
100%. Take your time, dude. Take the time you need, and then let's get ready to mobilize.
There you go. TheVocalMinority.net is our website. Follow us on the social medias. We're talking to the progressives and the liberals nowadays, so we all need to rally together on there. So help us out. Follow the podcast. Follow the social medias. Share this stuff. Comment. And stay engaged.
If you've got a comment you'd like us to play on the show, 844-48-VOCAL. Thanks for being a part of the podcast. It's The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Until next time. Be well.
Hello, my mini champions. It's your favorite old bag, Betty White. This has been a production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. New podcasts are released twice a week. Don't forget to watch The Golden Girls wherever great TV is watched.